We're up to item 19 out of 41 regarding dating skills within the framework of the Shidduchim system. This one last item, I'm not sure if we had already discussed, so just to make sure we cover our bases, I'll repeat this one. And that is that at the end of a date, first, second, third, it's not wise to ask a girl out directly within the framework of the Shidduchim system. One of the key elements of the design of the system is not to offend people, not to put people on the spot, and not to force somebody, perhaps, out of politeness to say yes when they really mean no. So you simply end on a courteous note, and you get back to the shatran. Usually at the end of a third date, when we've already established an orientation of a relationship, sometimes a fourth date, at the end of a third date, if you have a pretty strong sense that this girl wants to see you again, then it's perfectly acceptable not simply to ask her out directly, but to ask her if she minds dispensing with the use of a shatran. This way, again, you haven't really put her on the spot, but you've asked her if she wouldn't mind speaking directly rather than using the shatran. At which point, either she'll say, fine, let's ignore the shatran, and then hopefully she'll say yes. Okay. Okay. Alternatively, even if she says, no, I'd still rather go with the shatran, that doesn't mean a definitive no, because she may want to still think about it or somehow feels the comfort, a greater comfort level in going with the shatran. Now, another point, when parting, any time, but particularly after a first date, you have to be very, very careful about what your parting words are. There are certain phrases that have connotations, very subtle connotations, and sometimes they can be rather devastating to a girl. You might say goodbye and say, well, I had a good time, Zayt Matzliach, be Matzliach. To her, that might sound like, you know, I had a good time, and I wish you success in the rest of your life, but I don't expect to see you again. And you really might mean, it's just like a goodbye greeting. You might mean it nonchalantly without any deeper meaning. So you have to be very careful about the subtle sensitivities of what might be inferred into your parting words, because people read an awful lot into this. Let's understand something. One of the only things I know of that one may quote from Freud that is kosher is that Freud said, anything a person says and everything a person does is a reflection of the entire person. Now, people that are very insightful can just hear one sentence out of you, read your body language, hear your choice of words, your intonation and inflection of voice, and get an enormous amount of information about you in a Sherlockian way just by you uttering one sentence. Now, most of us don't focus that much on these things. Most of us don't. But we can sort of make our senses more acute when it's really important to us. And many of us pick up those natural skills. Now, since the whole idea of dating is something something that deeply affects your entire life. In other words, will I marry this girl or not? Or will he marry me or not? Even though we're not talking about such heavy issues, but in the back of one's mind, ultimately this is what's going on. So whatever shade of reference you make in a statement can very well be interpreted or misinterpreted, and therefore it's important to be careful about especially your parting phrases. Next, and this is a key point that many people, both men and women, fail to do expeditiously, and that is decide as quickly as possible whether or not you want to go out again. Meaning, you've gone out with a girl on Sunday, and if you need some time, that's perfectly legitimate. But don't hang around until Wednesday thinking about it. When you say, you know, I really want to talk to a Rebbe of mine or a mentor. And I want to discuss it. And I think that is going to give me clarity. And then I'll decide. Well, then do that on Monday. Don't wait until Wednesday to do it. Because there is a halachic concept called inui hadin, which is sort of prolonging the agony of judgment. And as we've talked extensively, but somewhat extensively, there is greater emotional sensitivity on the part of most women than there is men, than there is with men. And if your answer is no, then the answer is no. And such are the ways of life. But if your answer is yes, and the girl has to wait from Sunday until Thursday to find out that the answer is yes, she may not be sleeping so well. She might be very excited to see you again, hoping against hope that you'll say yes. And you were just busy learning with your chavrusa. You know, you didn't have enough time to take care of this business. This is from a perspective of Bein Adam L'Chavero. As soon as you know, and whatever steps you can take to determine whether or not you're seeing her again, I'm not talking about frequency of seeing her. We'll talk about that later. I'm talking about in getting back as expeditiously as possible to her to let her know yes or no. Now, what about frequency of dating? This is probably, this plus night talking is one of the, meaning felt extended telephone conversations at night. This is probably the greatest area of slip up and therefore mess up in terms of correctly or accurately reading a relationship and developing a relationship. Again, within the framework of the shidduch system. If you're operating in a completely different environment, then none of this applies. You get to know the girl for a year or two before you make a decision. But we're operating within the framework of the shidduch system. There's a very specific approach that is the most helpful to get the most out of the dating system. And my recommendation is that when you first start dating, you date once a week or maximum 3 times in 2 weeks. For some, in some cases, 3 times in 2 weeks is even a little bit better than once a week. But either once a week or 3 times in 2 weeks, no more frequently than that. After 4 dates, when there apparently is enough interest on the part of both of you to want to really explore this in a more serious way, then I recommend stepping up to 2x a week. Again, there are variations of this. Sometimes there are practical reasons as to why people cannot do this, and we'll talk about some of them. But all other things being equal, the first 4 dates should be spaced either once a week or 3 times in 2 weeks. After that, 2x a week after the fourth date, 2x a week and on, and stay at that pace of 2x a week if possible until there's an outcome. What is the purpose of spacing the dates? And this is, again, sorely misunderstood or not understood, and it's actually critical. And it basically goes like this. When you go out with a girl and you want to start developing a relationship, there are essentially 2 components to oversimplify. There is seichel and lev. There is the rational, intellectual assessment as to whether or not this is a healthy relationship, whether she's appropriate for you. And then there's lev, there's the heart or the emotions. Do you like her? And we need both. We need it to make sense, and you really need to like her. If it makes a tremendous amount of sense, on paper it's absolutely great, but you happen not to like her, we always drop the shidduch. When you like her, but it doesn't make sense, that's when people get into trouble. So we need a healthy development of analysis, of intellectual analysis, of reading the relationship, and we need to do that somewhat dispassionately. We need to be able not to be blinded, whether by emotional or physical attraction or whatever, chemistry, And we need to be able to evaluate whether or not this is good for me. And that requires a quality date. You might spend 3, 4, 5 hours or whatever together. And then you need to go back and digest the information. You need to digest it both intellectually and emotionally. And in my experience, and I don't mean my personal experience, but my vicarious experience with thousands of dates, it takes 2 to 3 days for most people, at least, if not more, to be able to properly digest and react, not only intellectually, but emotionally, to a quality experience of an interaction in a date. So sometimes it isn't until the second or third morning that as you're sort of mulling over bits and pieces of the conversation that you remember a snap, you realize now what's been bothering you. She made a comment and you're not really sure what that means, what the connotation is. Is there a problem there? Or not? So then you go back and you take a look. You try to see if there are any clues as to whether or not this is an issue. If you have no clues, you ask it directly. On the last day, you said such and such. What do you mean by that? And you enter into a conversation to try to understand better. Wait to the end and we'll try to remember your questions. And try to understand better what it is. Maybe it's not an issue at all. If it is an issue, well, we'll examine it. We'll deal with it and see whether or not we can overcome the issue. But that takes several days. Now, what happens if we don't have the digestive period to react and understand and analyze what's really going on? Now, what happens is that intellectually, the seichel part of us becomes confused because we haven't been able to sort it out. The emotions often surge, especially if there's chemistry, especially if you like the girl. So what invariably happens is, if you were to see her 6 days out of 7, there can be a supercharge of emotion, but a blinding of assessment, of evaluation, and then we have what we call infatuation. And infatuation has nothing to do with love. And infatuation has nothing to do with developing a healthy relationship. Now, the same is true of night talking or telephone conversations between dates. I strongly advocate that people do not, in this dating process, do not hold conversations with each other over the telephone evenings for two reasons. Reason number one, it's basically another date. Now, while you're in the process of digesting, you need to pull back and sort of come into your own space to be able to evaluate her, yourself, and the interaction between the two of you. And if you're not allowed that space for digestion purposes, but the same night after the date or the next night, you get on the phone for 2 hours and you talk, that's basically another date. And the next night you get up and talk, and you basically have another date. So there's just more and more information, both emotional and intellectual, that's coming your way. Without the ability to process it, what happens? Confusion. And you no longer can see clearly. And if anything, it sort of lapses into sort of boyfriend-girlfriend type of relationship rather than dating relationship for the purposes of having a quality date and being able to evaluate the relationship as to whether or not it's tachlinic, it could really develop into something for a lifelong commitment. So maybe the most extreme example of this was a call that I got years ago from a girl from Zurich who happened to be in London. And she called me up and said, you know, you have a student so-and-so, I've been dating him. And I saw him 10 times already, and I'm utterly confused. So I said, can you please tell me over how long a period you saw him for 10 dates? So she said, yes, 2 weeks. So I said, I have a question. Do you know a lot about him? I know an enormous amount about him, but I'm very confused. I said, let me ask you a question. If you had dated him twice and you felt the way you do now, would you be upset? She said, not at all. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, but all you did is spin your wheels unnecessarily, because 8 or certainly 7 out of these 10 dates were a total and complete waste of time. Because all you did is simply get more information and maybe, perhaps, like him better, but you didn't have the opportunity of processing this. I'll present another illustration. Today, slideshows are out with the development of videos, so we no longer do slideshows. But 20 years ago, the in thing was slideshows. So you had a carousel with these little pictures and a narration that went along with it. Somebody showed me an extraordinary, extraordinary slideshow that should have been an A1 plus on a scale of 1 to 10. It should have been a 10, but I gave it a 3. And there was only one reason. The shots and the narration were powerful, but you need 1 to 2 seconds or 3 of lingering to be able to still see that picture, to be able to internally react, to be able to emotionally react. What they did in this particular slideshow was they showed it, they narrated, and immediately you saw the next one. You didn't have a chance to say, to wow, okay? That was the digestive, the emotional digestion on that particular slideshow wasn't there. And if what we're aiming for is developing a healthy relationship rather than getting stuck or getting distracted and going off course by infatuation or by blindness or confusion, then I find that this is the healthiest way to go. You date, you don't talk on the phone between dates other than for the purpose of setting up the date. The second pitfall, or really landmine, of talking on the phone is that often, see, girls are much better at this than talking on the phone, because speech for women, as we've said, is usually represents developing relationships. Men are more into communicating information. What happens over telephone is that on a scale of 1 to 10, the in-person face-to-face interaction is the best that we have. It's a 10. Talking on the telephone allows people to hide behind the mask of invisibility. And since a great percentage of how we interact is with body language, and there is no body language that's visible over the telephone, unless you have video conferencing, then what happens is that if you get into a hot-button issue, if you get into a serious issue, you often get into trouble by telephone, which in person, even if you were to have gotten into the trouble, you'd be able to get out of, but you don't have the ability to do so over the phone. So when people have talked to me about getting into trouble in the dating process or even in engagement process, it's usually because they talked about a heavy issue on the phone, more commonly on the phone by a great deal than in person. So for many reasons, it's a good idea to have quality dates, space them appropriately, and try not to talk much over the phone in between. Another key principle in dating that has only very few exceptions, and that is almost, and we'll explain the almost never see two girls concurrently. The objective of a date is to be able to evaluate the relationship, and it's only fair to give fair to the girl and to yourself to give your total and complete attention to the shidduch at hand. If somebody talks to you about having another shidduch, you're seeing a girl, you saw her twice, you're going out a third time, even though you're not so sure it's really going to go anywhere, and somebody comes over to you and says, I have a great idea of a shidduch for you. The appropriate response is, right now I'm busy, and I'm not sure, you might add, I'm not sure where this is going, so why don't you check with me, give me your number, or check with me in a week and see where I'm up to. But even listening to something that sounds tantalizing may be the death blow to this relationship. And you know what? This relationship may have blossomed. Just because there's a dip in a relationship doesn't mean you're not going to marry the girl. As in fact, within the past 6 months, I got a very negative report from a shatchan about a bacher here in the yeshiva that was going out with a girl, and they went out 4 or 5 times, and he said, I don't think it's going anywhere. The girl has some pretty big problems. Well, a recommendation was made, things turned around, and came to fruition in a very, very positive way. So just because there's a snag where things don't necessarily look great, doesn't mean that they're not going to go. But if things don't look great, and then somebody else comes and speaks to you a shidduch, and then you listen to it and say, that sounds really great, you'll just drop. You may very well drop the shidduch, and you know what? This girl that you're seeing now that you're dropping might have really been the bashert and the right girl for you to marry. So the concept of dating requires exclusivity. In communities where there is no exclusivity, and people are constantly dating, double dating, triple dating. I don't mean double dating at one time. I mean in one night, you know. But I mean dating several girls pretty much concurrently. Then it's more like dealing cards. You're not serious about dating. And I'm not going to name the community, but there is a community not too far from where we are right now that enjoys the reputation of having the largest Orthodox collection of singles with the lowest marriage rate. And the typical scene there is there's no such thing as exclusivity. You date one, you date another, you date another, you date another, and there's no seriousness about relationships. Again, I'm brushing with broad strokes. I'm sure there are exceptions to every rule. But cardinal rule of thumb, don't date more than one girl at a time. I'll share an incident with you that I knew of. A young man learning in yeshiva, quite a Talmud Chacham, saw one girl. There was actually some confusion because there were two girls that had the same last name that weren't related to each other at all. And because of the confusion, he ended up not realizing which it was, and he ended up seeing A, and he liked her. But he had committed himself to calling B, to seeing B, so he saw B. But he liked her too. So then he started climbing the ladder. Two ladders next to each other. Then he saw B. He saw A a second time. It was pretty good. Saw B a second time. Then he saw A a third time. And he saw B a third time. And this went up 4 times, 5 times. I think it was 6 times. And then he realized, this is getting very, very confusing. But he was a very bright guy, and he sort of narrowed it down. He said, this is what the issue is. This girl has these qualities. This girl has these qualities. I have to make a decision. And he made a decision. And he dropped B. And he saw A 2 more times, 3 more times. In a week and a half, he was engaged. When B found out that in a week and a half he's engaged, she realized he must have been dating somebody else all along. He didn't see a girl and get engaged. And she was so hurt. And especially so because girl A was a friend of hers. And she was invited to the engagement party. And she wanted to shoot the chassan. Okay. So there can be all kinds of messes. And let's remember one additional thing. When a shatchan calls you and presents a girl to you, and you've done your homework, and you told the shatran, yes, I'm willing to see that girl. For all practical purposes, you're married to the dating of this girl. Don't listen to anything else. If anyone else comes over to you and says, well, I have a great date for you, and it sounds better than this one, you're committed. And these are the kinds of rules that if you don't follow, you get into trouble. You get offended. You hurt people, you get bad reputations, because this is the correct system to follow. Another important rule, and this is common amongst girls and boys, rather, the violation of this rule is talking amongst your friends. Talking amongst friends can come in one of two ways. Either you're talking to a friend because the friend went out with a girl. You heard, which you shouldn't have, that your friend went out with a girl. So you consult with your friend. Does she have personality? What are her hashkafas like? Is she pretty? Whatever it is that you're asking. And that's a bad move. It's a bad move for two reasons. Number one, there's an enormous amount of subjectivity. Remember, your friend didn't marry her, which means that something didn't go well in that interaction. Now, because there's a lot of subjectivity, either on the part of the girl or on the part of your friend, you might get, if your friend rejected her, it's very possible that your friend saw her in a certain light and you would see her completely and totally differently. One of the most remarkable illustrations of this actually took place with myself, whereby a sister of mine spoke me a shidduch, a classmate of hers in seminary. And it was such an extraordinary shidduch that I traveled to Baltimore to see the girl. Took a train, went out there, and the girl sat across from me and wherever we went, and she had a scowl on her face, this glum, almost depressed a look, and I never saw a smile out of her once. I stayed the night and I didn't want to insult her, so I saw her a second time. And then I tried something. I made a self-deprecating statement about myself, just to see what she would say. And any nice person would say, oh, no. And she agreed with me. And I came back, and I said to my sister, I said, does this girl know how to smile? And my sister, surprisingly, she said, this girl is the life of the party. She is the most animated, vivacious girl, but she didn't like me. So now if you would have asked me, if my friend then would come to me and he asked me for information about this girl, I would say, she's glum, she's depressed, she doesn't know how to smile, and she's insulting. Okay? Now I got a very, very one-sided view of this girl. So when you're talking to somebody who's dated the girl, you're undoubtedly going to get a very subjective view. So you might say, you know what? I heard that from Rabbi Braun. I know that myself. So I'm going to factor that in, and I'm going to talk to my friend because I still think I'll get a good reading, and I'll try somehow or another to screen and filter. It's not wise to do that. You want to talk to objective people. So that's the one purpose as to why you may want to talk to a friend. The other is just schmoozing with a friend to share with him your personal life so that you have... a sounding board. Again, as a rule of thumb, unless you're talking about your closest possible friend, who's your real confidant, it's not smart, it's not wise, and in fact, it's not sneistic to talk to your friends about your personal dating. Again, there can be rare exceptions, but as a rule, shmoozerai is not wise. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky essentially told me the following dating skill. Although he said it in Yiddish, but in English it rhymes. When in doubt, go out. Okay, you're dating a girl, and you really don't know. You're in a suffix. Well, what you really need to do is play it out and continue to date until you get some clarity. There can be times, of course, when in the process of dating, you feel you're plateauing. You're just going out and going out and going, and nothing's happening. You sort of do like her and you don't, you're ambivalent and so on. Well, in cases like that, it's often a good idea when you're really confused about your feelings to talk to a mentor. And if you still can't get clarity, then often what is a good idea is to take a break. The rule of thumb is 2 weeks break without any contact whatsoever. And what you want to do is see at the end of 2 weeks, did I miss her? The end of 2 weeks, there is often greater clarity, not always, but most of the time, as to whether or not you would like to return and see her again. And if it still doesn't work, then you have your answer. When nothing happens, nothing happens. Then you do have clarity. Really reverting back to the last issue about talking to friends, which I was pretty negative about, but talking to a mentor or talking to a Rebbe or talking to the Balabasta or the Balabas whose home you frequent on Shabbos is often very wise, providing that person has experience and good judgment. It's often very wise. We often can somehow or another lose clarity, get distracted, miss an important point. And let's face it, for relatively young people who don't have that much life experience, you may see something that's negative, and to you it may not be a very big red light. You may not have that life experience. To this 40-year-old woman, who herself has dated, maybe even married off a child, certainly been involved in Shidduchim, and has more life experience, or 45-year-old man, who has very good judgment, they may be able to see something. And then there's another issue, and that is, you might be very smart, you might even be very emotionally intelligent, but when it comes to ourselves, the Gemara says, Ein chavosh matir atzmoi mibeso asurim. Somebody who is imprisoned can't extricate himself from jail. He needs somebody on the outside to bribe the guard, to get the key, to throw down the rope, and somehow or another lend him a helping hand to get out. When we're dealing with our own personal situations, we get wrapped up in a dilemma, and we often don't have clarity. About 9-10 months ago, I had a personal dilemma. I don't even remember what it was. It was a small personal dilemma. I was sitting at home trying to figure it out, and I burst out laughing, and my wife says, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "Because." During the course of the average day, people come to me with dilemmas like this, but usually much, much more severe and serious ones. And we sit down, we talk for 10, 20 minutes. Usually we walk away, Baruch Hashem, with an idea, we frame it, and we have an idea as to how to deal with it. Here, I have a dilemma. It's a relatively inconsequential one, and I'm thinking about it, and I don't know which end of the stick to pick up. I'm totally lost. Why? Because it's me, not somebody else. So, when you're involved in a situation yourself personally, often it's hard to get clarity, but when you talk to somebody else, especially somebody who's more experienced, you will often get greater clarity. No one should make any decisions for you. You are the ultimate decisor in terms of decisions you're making, even as to whether you're going to see this girl again or not. And therefore, it's rare and it's almost never that I will tell somebody, you must see this girl or you may not see this girl. Okay, I'm not going to do that. And a wise advisor should never tell people what to do. But in the process of discussion, it should become pretty clear as to what the probable best next thing is to do. Next, and this I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. If you've dated a girl 4 or 5 times, and then you decide to break it off, you may not break it off with a shatran or even by telephone. If a girl has invested 4 dates of her time and emotion in you and very possibly thinks at that point that she's going to marry you or she's well on her way to thinking so, and then you flippantly dismiss the relationship through a shatran or just by a 5-minute telephone call, you can devastate the girl, and it's not fair. And therefore, said Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you owe it to her to talk to her in person and discuss it. So I remember mentioning this to a Talmud of mine years ago, and what he did was he made an appointment to pick this girl up after work. So he picked her up at 5 o'clock in Manhattan from her office. He took a walk with her, and in the first 3 minutes, he told her that he doesn't want to see her again. And 5 minutes later, he walked away. And that's not what Rav Kamenetsky had in mind. So then the girl complained that this is why I prepared for a date, for him to tell me in 5 minutes. That was obviously not the point. The point was to be able to allow her the time to discuss. Maybe there's a point that you missed. Maybe somehow or another assuage the feelings and deal appropriately with the situation. The next, and this is a very common experience, physical attraction, either too much or too little. How can too much of a good thing be bad? Well, the only time that too much of a good thing can be bad is if it blinds you. And we men are built in such a way that we're deeply emotionally affected by someone that we find is physically attractive. And it affects our emotions as well. And there are people who sometimes go out on dates when a girl is exceptionally attractive, they find themselves tongue-tied and they can't even be themselves. But the bigger and more common issue is that we can often get blinded. Because the girl is so pretty, she's so attractive, so graceful, and whatever else, has such chen, that we sort of discount other negative factors that can be there. And sometimes sometimes we can make some pretty terrible mistakes as a result. I mean, I'll share with you, we had a bacher here in the yeshiva, a very, very bright guy. He went on to Harvard for graduate school. And he was here at the yeshiva. And an alumnus had a sister that he wanted to be makariv. Did I mention this story? An alumnus lived near the yeshiva, and he had a sister who was visiting him. The sister wasn't from. And he wanted to be makariv his sister, so he invited over a bacher that he thought might be able to have some good influence on his sister. The problem was his sister was stunningly attractive. And this guy lost his head, totally. He followed her through 5 states, ultimately all the way to California, spent 3 months away from the yeshiva until he came to his senses and realized this girl doesn't want to be from. And he was only motivated by the deep sense of attraction, emotional attraction and physical attraction. And he came back to the yeshiva 3 months later with his tail between his legs, very embarrassed. And he wasted really 1/3 of his opportunity of learning in yeshiva. So another scenario, we had a Talmud here, also a very, very bright young man, went out with a girl who was a very, very fine person, but she suffered from phobias. And a number of different phobias. And she was seeing a therapist for the phobias. And she was up front and told him she could. He went out with her. He saw the qualities in her. He met with her therapist and he said, I don't mind these phobias. And we asked him the critical question. But he wasn't able to process it. What if this girl wasn't so attractive? What if she was 25% less attractive, but attractive enough? Would you still have accepted the problems? And he said yes. And he married her. And then a week or so after they got married, they were invited to a wedding in Brooklyn. And he said, let's go to the wedding. She says, I can't go to Brooklyn? Cross the George Washington Bridge? He says, well, maybe you can go through the tunnel. Tunnel? And then I remember his, you know, a member of his family became critically ill and he had to leave and he flew out to be with a family member. And then he called his wife and she says, you left me alone. You got to come back immediately. Anyway, they almost got divorced. It's a long story, but Baruch Hashem, things improved and the therapies worked and he stopped bothering her and Baruch Hashem, they have a wonderful family today. But it was pretty close, it was on the rocks and pretty close to being a mess because, again, he was blinded by too much beauty. So sometimes too much of a good thing can be a problem if we're not careful. But more commonly, we have the flip side. Okay? You go out with the girl and you say, you know, she's attractive, but first of all, she doesn't fit the image that I always had. I always had the image of this blonde color hair and, you know, this and certain height. And so, first of all, preconceived images, and again, I'm speaking theoretically and academically, but somehow it's really true. Many of the images that we may have in terms of preconceived notions are really Hollywood images. And unfortunately, many of us have been imprinted, and therefore we've developed a very specific taste, and that usually ends up being problematic. And it would be much better if we could bring ourselves to somehow or another erase preconceived notions and just be ourselves and see what we really genuinely like and be open. Often a girl might be a little bit overweight. We're not talking about somebody obese. And the person says, oh, never in a million years. And the reality is that had he given it a chance and gotten to see the beauty of the real beauty of this girl, things might have been very different. Here is a practical reality. If you go out with a girl and you don't like how she looks, we need to categorize it for your own self into the following some oversimplification. If she looked repulsive to you and you just couldn't look at her, don't bother going out again. Not going to change. If she looked reasonably okay, but not too attractive, if all other things were really good, go out again. Why? Number one, when a girl goes out the first time, often she's nervous. And when somebody is nervous, it can actually impact their natural radiance and who they are. And there are some people who look, when they're able to smile easily, actually look beautiful. And it's happened very, very commonly that someone's gone out with a girl and he thought she wasn't terribly attractive, but he certainly wasn't repulsed. He could see that, you know, there's something there, but he didn't find her terribly attractive. He went out a second time and a third time and he found her more and more attractive. There's another component as well. And the other component is something, we'll have to close here shortly, is something that I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz of Eishet Torah of Yerushalayim, who said the following. His grandfather was a Satmar Chassid and a very spiritual man. And before he started dating, his grandfather said to him, Yitzchak, make sure the girl you marry is very beautiful. And he was shocked. Because it was so atypical of how his grandfather would speak. And it took him several years until he understood what his grandfather meant. What his grandfather meant was that beauty is not two-dimensional. And beauty is not three-dimensional. Beauty is really multifaceted. When there's a chen to a person, the ultimate package you need to look at and be able to say this is a beautiful person. And it has everything to do with physical externalities. It has everything to do with chen. It has everything to do with good character and midos. It has everything to do with how much you like the person. And someone who objectively, by Hollywood standards, doesn't have what it takes to be called beautiful, nevertheless, can be very, very attractive to many, many people. Because it's not only those standards and measurements that we're talking about. It also has a lot to do with who the person is. And therefore, if you, in a first date, especially if there was some nerves, you may not know the person. And what will happen is, if you go out on a second date and a third date and you begin to get a sense of who the person is, there may be enough there to make her very, very attractive to you and very beautiful once you've really and truly developed a relationship. And therefore, just because it was sort of neutral the first time, in and of itself is not a reason not to go out again. The one thing that's not fair is to go out with a girl 8 times and then to say, or at least internally, the reason I'm not seeing her again is because she's not pretty enough. That's not fair. Because relatively early on, you can see whether or not it's getting better. If there's no change and she's not looking more attractive to you on a third date than on a first date, then it's not fair to go out on a fourth date. So, again, beauty has to be the ultimate bottom line in terms of this department when you make a commitment. But it doesn't have to be there in its complete form when you first meet with a girl. But on the other hand, don't drag it out. If it's an issue, make a decision. It's very similar to height. You go out with a girl and she's too tall for you. Or a girl says, this fellow is not tall enough for me, for example. Well, that's something you can see right away. You may have to grow into it a little bit, but it's not fair to go out 6 times and then to say, well, she's not tall enough or she's too tall. Because why did you wait a month and a half to figure out how tall she is? You saw that immediately, okay? So LMI, you wanted a little bit of time to be able to process it emotionally. Okay, a little bit of time, but not too much based on facts. Rabbi Sai, to be continued next week.